So we started the Mishnah, and we started the Gemara, but we didn't get that far in the Gemara. The Gemara quotes a machlokas as to how to interpret Or. When do we have the Chiyuv of Bedika? According to Rav Huna, Or means Yom, and therefore as soon as the day breaks in the morning, early, the Mefarshim say, according to Rav Huna, it's got to be early in the morning, because otherwise, what's the point of Or HaNer, of using a candle? The use of the candle itself indicates that it's still dark outside. It's Alos HaShachar. Those of you who daven Netz will know what I mean. It's still dark out. It's before HaNetz. And at that point, there's a mitzvah bedika with an Or HaNer. And the Or HaNer is meaningful because it's still dark out. Rabbi Yehuda says no. That the word Or in our Mishnah means night. And Kasalka Daita, at this point, the Gemara later on is going to change and backtrack, that everybody should be taken literally, whether it's Rav Huna who says Nagi, which means Yom, or whether it's Rabbi Yehuda who says Laila. And intuitively, perhaps we would agree with Rav Huna that the Torah mentions B'yom HaRishon, meaning on the 14th of Nisan. The Torah doesn't mention anything about the night going into the 14th of Nisan. So if we want to start our process of Bir Chametz, it would make sense to start on the day itself. But now the Gemara is going to go into a long and somewhat tedious analysis of Biblical Hebrew and try to determine what the word Or means in the Torah itself. So by way of introduction to this Gemara, let me say the following. That sometimes the Torah gives two words contiguous that are synonymous. And what the Torah does is, it's almost like the Torah uses a word and then there's a comma. And after that word, there's no comma. Don't take me literally, but it's as if there's a comma, and the next word tells you what the first word means. Like you'll say, I, comma, Azaria, or you, comma, David. You know what I'm saying? That's what it means. So let's say, for example, if I find the word in the Torah, R, next to the word Boker, then it's going to be the following. What is the sequence of these two words? That's very critical. If the word R comes first, then we add a comma, and then if the word Boker comes immediately after the word R, it teaches us that the word R means Boker. Again, you might ask, why did the Torah have to bother with the word R? Maybe because the Torah wanted to teach you that whenever you see the word R, you need it means Boker. If, on the other hand, the word Boker comes first, then the Gemara assumes that there's no need and no point to add the word R afterwards. So R could not mean a synonymous term for Boker. It's not a substitute word. In other words, if it says Boker and then it says R, it doesn't mean that R is Boker. If the Torah wanted to teach you that R is Boker, it would have said R first, comma, and Shehu Boker. The R that I just mentioned is Boker. So if we would find a pasuk, and we're going to look for this in the Torah, that says both R and Boker right next to each other, then if the word R comes first and the word Boker comes second, we know that the Torah is teaching me that the word R means Boker. If, on the other hand, the word Boker comes first, then what do we do with the word R? And here the Gemara makes a fantastic, this is, you know, you really have to be a Bucky in Hebrew grammar. I'm not a Bucky in Hebrew grammar, but the Gemara says that the word R could be either a noun or a verb. It could be either a shem poel or a pe'ula. So if it's R, comma, Boker, then R is a noun. And the word Boker is telling you that R is Boker. So it's R, which is Boker. But if, on the other hand, Boker comes first, then we transform R into a verb. And the word R, excuse me, now, thank you, means the same as Meir. It gives light. So that the reference here in this case of Boker Meir is really to the sun. The sun is the source of light. So with daybreak, we have Meir, the sun is now giving light. That wouldn't prove anything about the word Or. We want to prove that the word Or as a noun is synonymous with Boker, and that's going to be the Shita of Rav Huna. So the Gemara thinks that I have a pasuk in the Torah which is going to prove that the word Or, as Rav Huna insists, means Boker. Because the word Or and Boker are written both contiguous in the same pasuk, one next to the other. It must be indicating that the word Or is a noun and it means Boker. So what's the context of this pasuk? You may remember that the brothers of Yosef finally agreed to go down to Mitzrayim. Yaakov was pushing them. And then, after staying overnight in Mitzrayim, Yosef sends them back home packing. Now, at what point in time, night or day, do they get sent home? And the Gemara is going to say it's not derech eretz to send someone out at night. You know, there are all sorts of dangers at night. So therefore, we wait till Boker. Now, if the Torah would have said, Boker v'anoshim shulchu, and I'm leaving out the word Or, then we have no proof. All the Torah is telling us that Yosef sent him back to Eretz Canaan, to Father Jacob, after Boker. And that makes sense, because that's the Derech Eretz. You don't send someone out in the middle of the night. I think I told you once, or both say that, I have friends who were in the Soviet Union on a trip from the Misrata Chutzia, and the Russians caught them doing something illegal, and they sent them packing in the middle of the night. You know, they're not into derech eretz. You know, say, but Yosef HaTzadik wanted to be to follow the laws of etiquette, the proper laws. So Boker v'anoshim shulchu. Shulchu means they were sent out. But look what the Torah did. The Torah added another word over here. Which word?
Or.
Why did the Torah add the extra word Or? It must be telling us that Boker is Or. So at this point, the Gemara doesn't know that the word Or could be transformed into a verb. The Gemara thinks that Or by definition is a noun. And if Or is a noun, then Boker Or means that Boker is Or. And now we have a proof to support Rav Huna against Rav Yehuda that Or in Biblical Hebrew means Boker. Alma says the Gemara, Or Yamamahu. Or is referring to day. So when our Mishnah, presumably following Biblical Hebrew, says, Or li arbos avodkim esachomitz, it means the day of the 14th. And that fully supports the Shita of Rav Huna. By the way, again, at the end of the Gemara, at the end of the Sugya, Rav Huna is going to backtrack. You know, there's no such thing as bedikas chomitz by day. But right now, the Gemara took Rav Huna literally, and we have a clear-cut proof from the pasuk. So Gemara says no. There's no proof. Why? Miksiv ha'ar boker. If the word ar would have been written before boker, then it would have been. With no responsibility whatsoever, because this is probably not right. But I think it's called an appositive phrase in English. Anybody know English grammar? When you have a word like I, comma Steve, you know, is that called an appositive phrase? Okay, we don't know. Okay, so leave it out. Anyway, so the Gemara thinks that if the word R would have come first, then it would have been I, comma Steve, R, which is Boker. That would have been a clear-cut proof that the word R in Biblical Hebrew means day. But that's not what it says. But rather, it says Boker R. And now the Gemara pulls a fast one, that the word R here is not a noun but a verb. What does that mean? Kemandi Omar, like a person says, Tsafra Nahar. Nahar means that the morning gave light. Gave light is already a verb. And we're saying the same thing here, that Boker R means Boker Heir. The Boker broke, Alos HaShachar, what we say, and the light begins to break through. Kidrav Huna, the Omar Rav, Omar Yehuda, Omar Rav, Kidrav Yehuda, the Omar Rav, Omar Yehuda, Omar Rav, that a person who goes out to the Derech, Li Olam, Yikonis Odom, Bechito, Vyetse Bechito. So the Gemara says the following. What is this pasuk teaching me by saying that with Boker, which is again very early in the morning, that's called Alos HaShachim before Neitzachama, Heir, you know, there was light breaking through. And the answer is, it's teaching you a halacha in Derech Eretz. You know, all over Shas, Derech Eretz is given great significance. You know, Derech Eretz Kodmo LeTorah, it's even more important than the Torah itself. And what's the Derech Eretz that Rav Yehuda Marav is deriving from this pasuk? Why did the Torah have to say Boker Heir, that the Boker came and broke through with rays of light? To tell you the following. That a person, when he's on the road, should always be careful that when he knows he has to arrive at a certain destination, he should calculate his time and the journey it takes, the time it takes to get there, in such a way that he gets there when it's still light out. And that's called Li'olam Yikanes. Yikanes means he goes into his host's house where he arrives. Bechitov. Kitov means when the sun is shining. And Yetze, when should he leave his host to go on to his next destination? That's Bechitov, when the sun breaks out in the morning with sunrise. In other words, travel should be during the day and not during the night. I think the Chazon Ish, if I'm not mistaken, is famous for saying that was true in those times when there was very little light out in the darkness, and it was very dangerous from animals, predators, or from what's called boros, sichanim oros, that you might trip and fall. Today, if the road is well lit, then we can consider it as if it was kitov, and we could go out. So we don't have to be paranoid about this whole thing. Okay. Now, why is the word kitov being used to describe sunlight? So that's based on a pasuk at the beginning of the Torah, right at the very beginning, that there the Torah says Vayara l'kimis ha'or kitov, that the light of the sun is considered kitov. So kitov is a catchphrase for the light of the sun. And the Derech Eretz that we're learning from this pasuk of Haboker Or Vanoshim Shulchu is that the guest or the traveler, when he leaves his host, he should leave him at the time when it's Boker Heir, meaning when there's a special light. What do I mean by special light? A more powerful, intense light, not the light of Alos HaShachar, but a slightly later time period, which is called Hanetzachama, with sunrise. Mesve. Now the Gemara quotes a parasha of David HaMelech. David HaMelech has a nevuah in which he writes about the future, meaning about the ultimate redemption. Uke'or boker yizrach shemesh. Here again, we have these two words in the Bible, or and boker, but here there's an advantage, because which word came first? Or. So we should read it as what I called in a positive phrase, meaning or, comma, boker, or which is boker. Now, what David HaMelech is trying to convey is that in Olam Haba, in the next world for the tzaddikim, there's going to be an or of boker, and not only that, but in this world, if we want to talk about revelation, if we want to talk about God bestowing goodness, we talk about the boker of this world. That's called the boker of Olam Hazeh. So what David HaMelech is saying is that for the tzaddikim in Olam Haba, there's going to be such an intense light that you can only compare it in this world to our boker, meaning to the light of day. The light of day in Olam Hazeh, which again symbolically represents, you know, clarity of vision and the beauty of nature and so forth and so on, then that's going to be used as a mashal here for Zrichas HaShemesh L'Tzadikim L'Olam Habo. They're going to have an intense clarity and a beauty of the light, the full radiance of the light, just like we have when we have daybreak and we enjoy the sun in this world. But Alma, what we see from this pasuk is that Or Yamamahu. Okay, so this is a Poskin Shmuel Beis, and again it's the prophecy of David HaMelech about the Tzaddikim in Olam Haba. And the very fact that it says Or, and then it says Boker, it means that Or is Boker. Alma, says the Gemara, Or Yamamahu, again supporting the Shita Rav Huna, that the word ar means boker. So the Gemara says no. Miksiv, does it say in the pasuk ar boker? If it would have said ar without two extra letters as a prefix, then it would mean ar kama boker. Ar equals boker, and that would be a clear cut proof to Rav Huna. But rather, it says ukear boker. So we're adding two extra letters to the word ar, the vav and the chaf. And what are those two letters telling me? Hachi kama. This is how you interpret the pasuk. Ukear boker bi'olam hazeh. What we're saying is that just like there's a period of time which is called Alos HaShachar, and Alos HaShachar, the Or, when the sun rises, will be a very intense light, and that light should be compared to the sunlight, so to speak, of daybreak for the Tzaddikim in Olam Haba. So it means that it's not again a phrase that tells you R equals Boker, but rather the pasuk is coming to compare the R of Boker in this world. Okay, that means the R after the Meir, after the sun breaks through and gives us R, to the R of Zrichas Hashemesh for the Tzaddikim Olam Haba. Meisvei. Why not? I don't know why the Gemara didn't start with this pasuk. Vayikra Elokim li'ar yom. God called ar yom. You see clearly that the word ar means yom. Alma ar yamamahu. It seems like an open and shut case, you know, hands down. You know, you want to bring a proof for Avuna that the word ar means day. That's what it says in the pasuk, that God called ar day. Alma ar yamamahu. Hachi kamer. No, that's not the way you read it. The pasuk is referring not to R as a noun, but to R as a verb. Lemeir uba karo yom. In other words, from the moment that there's a beginning of R, that's called the meir uba. Uba, the word uba means that it's not really sunrise yet. It's before sunrise. It's a process in which the meir, the luminary, is bringing out some light. And that's the haschalas hameir. That's the beginning of the power of giving light, and that's already considered yom. Meaning, the Torah wants to tell you you don't have to wait till sunrise, until the sun is completely visible on the horizon. But even haschalas hameir, even before that, the sun is about to rise, and it's already giving light. That's what is called yom. So, for example, if I would tell you that the earliest time for Bris Milah is Hanetzach Hama, you have to wait till the sun actually arises because the mitzvah is Yom Hashmini, you would tell me I'm wrong. No, you don't have to wait till Hanetzach Hama. You could perform the circumcision even after Alos HaShachar, because that's already called a Meir Uba. That already means that we anticipate the Meir of the sun. It's on its way, it's coming, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls that Yom. So the Gemara says, no, that can't be. It can't be that the word Or here means the Meir Uba, the beginning of the sunrise. Because if that be the case, you have to be consistent. The end of the pasuk says, V'lachoshech karo laila. Elameyata v'lachoshech karo laila. Now, if you're telling me that the first part of the pasuk is referring to a period of time before sunrise, which is called Alos HaShachar, and that's the Meir Uba, it's already called Yom, then in a parallel sense, there should be something which is before Choshech. What's before Choshech?
Ben HaShvashes. It's getting dark.
You're right, Ben HaShvashes, but what's the astronomical occurrence that sets up Ben HaShvashes, that generates?
Yeah, the sun is going down.
Yeah, that's called sunset. So sunset means that there's no longer a sun on the horizon, but yet the sun is not dipped below the horizon very deep, and therefore it's still reflecting light on the horizon. And then we'd have to say lachosha karalaila lemachshichu ba karalaila, when the process begins of darkness. It's not yet dark, but the sun is already set. That already should be laila. In other words, if you're telling me that Alos HaShachar, even before the sun rises, is already considered yom, and that's the thrust in the beginning of the pasuk, Vayikra Lakim Lemeir Uba Yom, then Lemachshich Uba Kara Laila. Then Machshich Uba, meaning Bein HaShmashos, or shall we call it Shkiyas HaKham, should be already the inception of laila. Vakaimalon, and yet that's against what we know. And this is already a sugya at the very beginning of Masech the Brachos. The Gemara wants to establish when is the earliest time for Kriyas Meshal Arvis. And the Gemara says, Ad Seis HaKochavim, until the stars come out, which is way beyond, way later than Shkiyas HaKhamen and sunset. It's got to be totally pitch blackout. Yamamahu, it's still considered day. So let me ask you a question, Rabbi Moshe, just to test you. What happens if I hire you as a day worker and we sign a contract? When would be the earliest time for you to finish your work and go home? Seis HaKochavim. Because the Gemara says explicitly that until Seis HaKochavim, it's Yom, and you're a Yom worker. We agree that you would work the entire Yom. You know, you say to me, well, it's sunset, and I my day ends with sunset. Oh, no. Halachically, the day doesn't end until Laila. In Hanukkah, we had a whole discussion about whether or not you could light Ner Hanukkah as early as Shkiyas HaChama. Now, if Laila is the time for Adlokas Ner Hanukkah, then you can't light Hanukkah at Shkiyas HaChama. You have to wait until Seis HaKochavim. And there are many poskim who will advocate Seis HaKochavim. Others will say that Hanukkah is an exception to the rule. They want you to light even before Laila with Shkiyas HaChama. But that's only because Hanukkah might be an exception to the rule. But as far as the rule in Kol HaTorah Kulo is concerned, then Laila begins with Seis HaKochavim. So take, for example, let's say on Leil Pesach, since we're learning Pesachim, I would be makabel what's called Tosefes Yontif an hour before it says, can I eat my matzah? The Torah says that matzah requires Laila. That's derived from a pasuk in Korban Pesach. We have an equation between matzah and Pesach. And in Pesach it says, V'yachalta es habosa b'layla hahu. So you can't eat the Korban Pesach before Laila, meaning before it says, and you can't eat matzah before it says HaKochavim. And that's called Kaimalon di ad Seis HaKochavim Yamamahu. It's not yet Laila. So we're now in a bind. Because we don't understand this pasuk, Vayikra Elokim La'ar Yom. The simple pshat would have been that God called Ar Yom. And that makes sense according to Rav Huna, but that's going to be a problem for Rav Yehudu, who says that Ar means Laila. So how could Hashem call the Ar Yom? The other option is to say, to defend Rav Yehuda, that Elokim called the Meir Uba Yom, meaning even before sunrise, there's already reflected light, and that's called Alos HaShach, that's also called Yom. So as I said before, you can perform a bris milah after Alos HaShach. But if we go with that, then we consistently have to apply that to the safe of the pasuk. L'achoshekar alayla, l'machshech uba kar alayla. Now, machshech uba is before Seis HaKochavim. And we have a principle that ad Seis HaKochavim yamamahu. So the Gemara answers, hachi kama. Karya rachmano linahora. The word vayikra doesn't mean what you think. How did we translate the word Vayikra in the pasuk Vayikra Elokim Li'ar Yom? He called it, right? Gemara says, no, that's not what the word Vayikra means. Vayikra means he summoned it. Hashem summoned the Ar. What does it mean he summoned the Ar? What does that mean? And the answer is he summoned the source of Ar. What's the source of Ar? What's the luminary, the power that gives Ar? The sun. So he summoned, he with a capital H summoned the mayor, which is the sun. So again, we're saying that R is referring to the power of giving light, and here it's a noun, but it's referring to the sun that is the mayor, meaning the source of light. Upakte, and he commanded it, amitzvasa diyoma, that it should serve during the day. This is a fascinating idea that the Shemesh has to serve during the day. That's called Pakte HaMitzvasa D'Yamama. Okay? And if you take a look at Tosfos, alright, we're not going to look at Tosfos now, okay? But in any event, this is what the Gemara is saying. And then, what's the say for the Pasuk? Kari Rachmona L'Chashucha Upakte HaMitzvasa D'Laila. And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is summoning, he's summoning the Laila. He says that just like Vayikra Li'ar means he called the Shemesh to function during the day, so too he called the nighttime to function during the night. Okay, that's
the nighttime or the stars as the heavenly body to produce illumination.
I don't know. What do you have? Do you have any? Does anybody have a translation here? Nobody has one. In my translation, wait a minute. You have one, David.
Yeah.
Can I borrow it for just a minute? I'll give it right back to you.
I trust you.
Okay. Thank you. He says, and to the darkness he called light. And he says, what does that mean? Just one second. Here it is. He called for darkness and gave it the commandment of serving during the night. I don't know. It's very difficult, but that's the translation. It means that darkness is some sort of an entity. You know, there's a big philosophical issue about what exactly is darkness. Is darkness the absence of light, and it's a non-entity? Just take away the light and you have darkness. Or is darkness an entity? The Vilna Gaon, for example, was of the opinion, very famous, that darkness is an entity. It's a reality. Very deep philosophical concepts here. So God summoned this entity called Lila and commanded it to serve during... I'm sorry, God summoned this entity called Choshech, called darkness, and commanded it to function during the night. He says in the footnote here that we have to look at Tosfos, but he's not talking about our Tosfos. I made a mistake. He's talking about Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz. Honestly, I don't have access to Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, so we'll have to shelve that for now. Meisve, now we'll get to the stars. You know, Ben, you're up in the stars, so now we're going to go with you up to the stars. Okay, now this is a pasuk in Tehillim, at the end of Tehillim, and we say it every morning in the Pesukei de Zimra. It says, Halu kol kochvei or. Now we're talking about stars that come out when? At night. And yet the Pasuk uses the word or. Alma or urtahu. Now we have a proof from Yehuda against Rav Huna that on the contrary, in biblical Hebrew, the word or must mean darkness or night. The hachikomar. And here's what the Pasuk is saying. Halalu kol kochavim hameirim. I'm sorry. I skipped a line here. The Gemara is saying, Alma or Urtahu. We have a proof here that or means Lila, because the Kochavim presumably function at night. So the Gemara knows. The Gemara says rejects it. No, it doesn't mean that the word or is referring to Lila, but rather, Hachi Kamar. Halalu kol Kochavim Hameirim. Again, we're taking the word or not as a noun, which we would presume in this context would mean Lila, but rather as a verb. And these are stars that give light. In other words, David HaMelech is dividing the stars into two categories. One category has to praise God, and the other does not have to praise God. Which Kochavim have to praise God? The Kochavim HaMeirim, those stars that give light. So the Gemara asks the following: El Miata, if that's what David HaMelech is saying, Kochavim HaMeirim Hu Deboi Shvuchi V'She'ena Meirim Lo Boi Shvuchi, are you meaning to tell me that there's certain stars that don't give light and they don't have a responsibility to sing the praises of God? Maksiv, doesn't the pasuk say Halu Kol Tzva'av, that all the celestial beings in the heavens are responsible and obligated to describe and glorify God with their words of praises? So the Gemara says, you know that's you misunderstood me. I didn't mean to say that David HaMelech is coming to exclude stars that don't give off light. By the way, all stars give out light, but in terms of our planet, you know, do we receive their light? Certain stars are too dim or too far away to give us light. The David HaMelech wasn't excluding those stars, the dim stars in inverted commas, from praising God. Eloha kamashmalan, David wanted to tell me a chiddush. And that is, how do we consider the light of Kochavim? You know, in the case of the sun is a clear-cut source of light. In the case of Kochavim, very often it's a kind of reflected light. Is that called R? Who cares? I mean, that's a theoretical question. And the Gemara answers, no. It's not a theoretical question. It's a practical question. It's a lamaisa question. Why? That for those stars that give out light, David HaMelech wants to say that's a real light. That constitutes, qualifies as R. What happens if a person says, I take upon myself a neder that I won't benefit from R? Very strange kind of neder. I would send this guy to a loony bin. He's probably suffering from depression. So he wants to take upon himself a neder that he won't enjoy the benefit of light. Can he enjoy the benefit of light of stars? And the answer is, and this is a Mishnah Masechta Nedarim, HaNodim in Ar Aser Bi'oran Shel Kochavim. Not only has he enjoined himself from benefiting from the light of the sun, he even has prohibited himself through this neder from benefiting from the light of the stars. And that's the halachic teaching of David HaMelech that's inherent in this pasuk. Halu kol tzvav. All stars and all celestial spheres, insofar as they're God's creations, have a responsibility to sing the praises of God. But if you ask me which R is called R, and you want to know what about those stars that give us light, and I benefit from the light of the stars, am I allowed to do so if I took a neder and I prohibited myself from R? And the answer is kochvei R, that the kochavim that give light, that light is also a valid and a halachically recognized R. Meisvei. Okay, now before we do the next Meisvei, let's take a look at Tosfos Divrei Maskil R. We got halfway through the Tosfos yesterday, and we got up to the discussion about Nazir. So let's just quickly review what we know. Tosfos has established that the reason for Bedikas Chometz as a rabbinic enactment is to prevent us from leaving Chometz around the house. If we leave Chometz around the house, we can avoid Bal Yiro Bal Yimotzei. Through what mechanism? Bittul. But we still have a problem of Shemi Yom Liochla. So Tosfos says, but we don't find, neither with regard to Arla, Klai Akerim, Abasa B'chav, all of which have the same status as Chometz. They're all Isuri. I know we never found a din of Bedika, you know, look for the Arla, check and get rid of it. Why is it that Chometz is unique in the entire constellation of Isuri Anah? And Tosfos points out that because Chometz is mutter the whole year round, and therefore lo bedili minei inshi, a person is not intuitively, he doesn't separate himself from Chometz. On the contrary, he sees this beautiful piece of bread or pastry and he wants to eat it. The whole year round, he's allowed to eat it. So we need a bedika, we got to get rid of this Chometz. That's the rabbinic enactment. But in Arla, Klai Akerem, and Basa B'chalav, those Yisurei Anar, us the whole year round. It's a little bit interesting. You know, in Arla, there's no difference between fruits of Arla and fruits that are not Arla. They all look identical. So if, for example, let's say I'm in the third year, you know, going into the fourth year of my tree, of my the production of fruit on my tree, it's a little bit strange here because how do I know the difference between Arla? I really have to put Arla in a separate bag, you know, and put a big sign on it that says these pears are Arla. Because they look identical to pears that are not Arla. So you and I might have said maybe we need Bedika to get rid of the pears of Arla for a different reason. Not so much of Shemi Yovali Achlo in the sense that, you know, I'm used to eating Arla, I never eat Arla, but in the sense that these pears look identical to pears that are not Arla. In the case of Basar B'chalav, it's even a more profound question. You know, Basar itself is mutter, and by the way, Basar B'chalav only applies to kosher meat. The Chalav itself is mutter, because Basar B'chalav only applies to kosher milk, and the combination thereof engenders an entity called Basar B'chalav. So, I'm really used to eating Basar B'chalav. That's not such a great argument, because you could always say that I never eat Basar together with Chalav. You know, I would eat the Basar alone, I would eat the Chalav alone. But then again, you know, it's a little bit confusing because you can actually cook milk and meat, and then you don't see the milk at all. The milk is totally absorbed in the meat. You know, not like a cheeseburger where you can see the cheese on top of the meat. You know, sometimes the cheese or the milk is completely absorbed in the meat. So maybe it would be a good idea to get rid of basar b'challah. But in any event, there is no entity or requirement of bedika and biur with regard to any other isuri anah, with the exception, the singular case of chametz, because Tosafot says lo bedili mei inshi, meaning that this very piece of chametz, the rest of the year is mut. I can't point to arlov or to klai kerem or to basar b'challah and say that this entity would be mut the rest of the year. It's asur li olam va, the whole 365 days. But now we get to nazir. So yayin for nazir, on the one hand it's the same identical yayin, and on the other hand this yayin was mutter to the nazir the whole year round. He only took upon himself nazirs from the first of Nisan to the first of Iyar. You know, so for 1 month he's enjoined from drinking this wine. The whole year round he drinks the yayin. Not only that, a person can accept upon himself nazirs for a day. And we never found that it's bedika. So what about lo bedili mina? You're saying that in chametz it's lo bedili mina. I don't separate myself from chametz because all year round eating chametz. The nazir should have to get rid of his yayin. So Tosis comes up with a new principle over here, and he says that bedika and shemiyom liachlo is generated by two conditions that both have to be filled. The profile is, number one, the same entity is mutter the rest of the year. And number two, that isur is universal, meaning everyone's included in the isur. No one's allowed to eat chametz. He says, but nazir, isure shari lachrini. Anyone on the face of the earth who's not a nazir is allowed to drink this wine. So we're not going to tell the nazir you have to get rid of his wine and just simply pour it into the fire until it gets consumed. Let someone else drink the wine. See, in chametz, no one can eat that chametz. So what does Tosis mean over this? Tosis worried about what we call hefseh mamon, meaning that in the case of chametz, it's also about, no, you can't feed it to a dog, it's worthless, you can't be mekadesh and isha with chametz, it's totally low shava klum, it's not even a shava pruta. But yayin? Okay, so there's one nazir on the face of the earth, you can't drink the wine. The wine is still worth, you know, what do they pay for a good wine today? I think you can pay 300 shekel for a good bottle of wine. Yeah, and probably 1,000 times that price, right? So I have vintage wine, right, and it's worth 300 shekels. So you're going to tell me, well, Berzon, you became a nazir. Cross that out, by the way. And therefore, get rid of this wine. You know, pour it into the fire and consume it. No. Everybody else, you know, can drink the wine. It's worth 300 shekels. So chas rachman al mamona shel yisro. Well, what does Tosis mean? The isure shari leachrina.
I don't think it's a monetary thing. I think it's more than we can make a distinction, the less likely we are to come up with a parallel. Whenever you compare case A with case B, the more that I can make them seem different, then less likely that the halacha will be the same.
Right. But I'm asking you, so what is the rule? You know, you have to make this distinction. You got to give me a rule. Bedika applies to category X. It does not apply to category Y.
Not something voluntary that I chose to
accept upon myself. But let me ask you a question. What would be if I came up with a case of something that's usur for everybody except for one person on the face of the earth? Would that also be suri shari lachrini? Is it enough that I found one person on the face of the earth who's allowed to?
You have that for eruv tavshilin. I'm cooking on Friday because someone might come. And
they wanted to say that some guest will show up.
A soldier sitting in a mutav right on the border. So someone wanted to come along and say no. So now they can't. It's not going to help them because no one's going to come across from no man's land.
Right.
And then the din was that no, they can also.
So I'm asking the following: if there's somebody on the face of the earth who could enjoy this, you know, the Torah was matir a certain Isur for so and so, would that be enough to supply to qualify under Tosis' description of Isure Shari Lachrini? Lachrini meaning one person. I'm going to suggest the following. Again, Ben, you're 100% right. I mean, Tosis is operating with categories and with definitions, but what are these categories? I'm going to suggest the following. There's something called an Iser Chefzo, and there's something called an Iser Gavra. An Iser Chefzo means there's something inherently, if I can use the word, despicable in the eyes of the Torah in this object. Then there's something called an Iser Gavra. Has nothing to do with the object per se. It has to do with your status. Tosis might be postulating, I'm just suggesting, the following. That when is there a Chiyuv B'dika Bir to destroy an object? That's because everyone is also in this object. If everyone is also in the object, what does that prove? That's an Iser Chefetz. That the Iser is inherent in the object. Then there's something called an Iser Gavra. The Chefetz is Heter Gomer. There's nothing wrong with the Chefetz. You see anything wrong with this? Yayin is kosher wine. And it has all the mashgichim, you know, it has the Rabbanut. If you want Mahadrim, it's not even Heter Mechira. It's nothing. It's straight kosher wine. So the answer is, you became a Nazir. If you became a Nazir, that's an Iser Gavra. You've changed your status. You've separated yourself from wine and many other things. That has nothing to do with the wine. That's called Isur Yishar Lechem. But if Lu Yitzur, we would come up with a case of something that's also to everyone, but there's one person that the Torah allowed, you know, the Torah allowed the Kohen Gadol to do, that would not change the status of the object. Just because it's Shari Lachrini, it still remains an Iser Heft. On the contrary, the status of the Gavra is to be matted to permit that object to that Gavra. But take a look at the next line in Tosis. Tosis now comes up with a whole new theory. He says, you know what? I'll tell you why Chametz was singled out by the Rabbanon as a victim, you know, of Zaptus Chametz. You know, look for it, search for it, destroy it. Chametz is unique. And now Tosis is going to say there's something unique about Chametz that you cannot find anywhere in any other Iser. Not in Klei Kerem, and not in Arla, and not in Basar B'Chalav, and not even in Yayin L'Nazir. What's unique about Chametz? Shiny Chametz. Sheikh Mirabo Torah, Lavar B'Bal Yiroh B'Bal Yimotze. The Chachamim are following the cue of the Torah itself. Nowhere does the Torah say that you're enjoined from possession, from ownership, over a Chefetz of Isura, whether it's Arla, Klaya, Kerem, Basa B'Cholav, or even Yayin to a Nazir. Nowhere does the Torah say B'Bal Yiroh B'Bal Yimotze, except in Chametz. Is therefore Echmiru Chachamim. The Chachamim followed in the footsteps of the Torah. Livdok, I'm going to add a word, Chametz, Ulevaro. And not only that, the Chachamim said, Afilu Hecha Debitlo, even the you were Mivato, but you see the Torah is so machmir with regard to Chametz that we too have to be machmir, and we're not going to rely on Bitlo. Mishum Dilma Asilu Michle, even after the Bitlo, you might come to eat it. No, I might eat the Peros Arla. I might eat, drink the wine if I'm a Nazir, but that's not it. Where did the Torah give you that gushpanka, you know, that cue, so to speak, that you should know this Iser is in a category unto itself. It has its own chumrah that doesn't appear anywhere else in the Torah. Bayiro, Bayimotzi, that's only Chametz. So the Rabbanan said, if the Torah is being machri, the Torah doesn't want you to have any connection to this Chametz, we're going to say that even if you can technically avoid the Torah, circumvent that Iser Bayiro, Bayimotzi, by doing Bittul, nevertheless, we want you to be Bodek Chametz and be Mavar Chametz. Ben?
Isn't it also another stringency in the Chometz that you're Asr B'mashrihu? It's not like, it's not Bittul B'shishim, it's no other kulas apply to Chometz. It's another stringency.
Well, Yayin Nesach is also Bottle B'shishim. I don't know that we need B'dik and Bir in the case of Yayin Nesach. You know, you can argue about that. And basically, anything called a Dover She Yeshlo Matirin is Asr B'mashrihu. Chametz is a classical example of a Dover She Yeshlo Matirin, but there are many other examples of a Dover She Yeshlo Matirin. meaning that after Pesach you're allowed to eat the chametz. Again, that depends on the tanoim that we mentioned before about chametz shavu levav Pesach. So now Rabosa, we have a problem. Because if you remember yesterday when we read the Mishnah, Orli Arbasar Bokim Es HaChametz, it sounded like the Mishnah was including all chametz. The Mishnah didn't qualify that look for certain types of chametz and not other types of chametz. You remember we discussed three different types of chametz. Only one of those three are included in Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzeh. There are two other categories of chametz that are also b'achila, but you're allowed to own them, and the Torah never enjoined you from owning them. That's chametz nuksha and chametz shayde tarobes. So now what are you going to tell me? You're saying to me that the reason why we need bedikah and beer and chametz, what's unique about chametz? Because Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzeh, the Torah was machmir. What about those other two categories? Are you going to tell me they're exempt from bedikah and beer? So that's the Rashba. Again, this is not the Rashba from Spain. This is the Rashba of the Bali Tosfos. And he says, "V'nirul Rashba dafil l'fi tam ha'achron." Even according to this Inami that we suggested that chametz is unique and requires bedikah and beer because of Bayroba Rabbi Motzei, Tzarech Loma, we're going to have to conclude dechmiru chachomim bechol chametz. In all categories of chametz, even those categories of chametz that are exempt from what? From Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzeh, afilu b'chametz nuksha, or afilu b'chametz hayidei tarobas, the afal gav dileka Bal Yiroh. So the chachamim started with chametz gamur, and then they made it all inclusive, and they said anything that's included in these are chametz, and there's a shema yovel yachlo, we're going to include in bedikah beer, even if there are categories of chametz that technically should not be included in bedikah beer because we don't have this chumra of Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzeh, but it still has the status of chametz. And if we're going to go through this perek and the perek afterwards, and we're going to constantly vacillate back and forth whether chametz nuksha is called chametz or it's not called chametz, whether chametz ayidei tarovis is called chametz or not called chametz, here is the proof. Right here on that base of Menal. Tosfos says in the name of Rashba that bedikas chametz requires anything that is called chametz. And nuksha, taroves, is called chametz, with an exemption from Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzeh, but otherwise it's chametz. And now he quotes Rabbeinu Tam. The Pirush Rabbeinu Tam Bereish Elu Ovri. This is a gigantic machlokes, which was very premature for us, about chametz ayidei taroves. Is there Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzeh on chametz ayidei taroves? Because there are different types of mixtures. Some taroves can be classified as what's called kizayis b'chtei achilas pras, meaning there's a concentrated isur and a very serious volume of isur that's mixed up in a taroves. And many Rishonim hold that if chametz is a significant component in this mixture, in other words, that the volume of the chametz is somewhat significant, then there is Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzeh. Rabbeinu Tam says no. Rabbeinu Tam is of the opinion at the beginning of Perkei Lu Ovrim that anything that's mixed, any mixture of chametz, is exempt from and excluded from Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzeh. And how does he, Rabbeinu Tam, interpret the pasuk Si'ar Yisarif? Yisarif means that it's asur to own it, to possess it. You have to burn it because of Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzeh. Hainu dafka chametz nuksh. Rabbeinu Tam was of the opinion that Se'ar, the word Se'ar in the Torah, is a reference to chametz nuksh. Whereas other Rishonim assume that Se'ar includes even chametz ayidei taroves. Zikamad the Omer Nami Hosom, the Kolshkein chametz gomra ayidei taroves, mashma the osol ashoso. So there's another man the Omer, which is not Rabbeinu Tam, that would say you're not allowed to lashoso. Don, this I want you to underline, the word lashoso. Do you have it in Tosfos? You'll have to write it in your notebook. And I'm not going to write it on the board, because we still have this beautiful board here, even though we took a picture of it. And that's the word lahashoso. Yeah. So Abby, could you show him the word in Tosfos so you can copy it straight from Tosfos?
Yeah,
Because that word, Don, is going to come up over and over and over again. So you might as well get it down now. Lashoso means to maintain ownership over something, to leave it around. Lashoso. So what's the story with Chometz al yedei Tarovos? Are you allowed to leave it around, or do you have to get rid of it? So according to this opinion, this Mandiyoma, this is not Rabbeinu Tam, Osur Lashoso. You're not allowed to leave it around. Get rid of it. Why Why is the Torah saying burn it? Yishoso. Adli achra Pesach. There's no bayirova yimotze. Why are you destroying something that has value? You'll eat it after Pesach. It's chometz al yedei tarovos. So on both sides, this is going to be a tremendous nafkamina for tons of stuff that we have in our closets, which may have, especially alcohol. When I'm talking about alcohol, I mean ethyl alcohol. I mean, today already, almost all the alcohol out there is synthetic alcohol. But back in the day when I was a kid, you know, there was a famous case of a group of people that were stranded on an island. They had some sort of a crash. So what they did was they took their cosmetics, they put it through a fire, and they were able to extract alcohol. And they had a great time on the island. But that was real alcohol. So that alcohol is chametz, and it's in a tarovos. So theoretically, again, back in the day, you open up your closet with cosmetics and medicines and so forth. There's tons of chametz there. Do you have to sell all that? Is there Bal Yerovah Yimotzeh? It's chametz al yedei tarovos. So that depends on this machlokas right over here. Alright, so the rest of this Tosfos really has to wait until we get to the heavy, heavy sugyas of chametz nuksha, chametz al yedei tarovos. But just to summarize the overview of this Tosfos, there are two approaches to answer the question, why is it that chametz was singled out and the Rabbanan required bedika and biur, which we don't find by other Isuri Adnah? The first approach of Tosfos is to say that chametz is unique because it's asur only for 7 days. It's mutter the whole year round. And therefore it's lo bedili minei inshi. That's going to give us a problem, a headache with nazir. And therefore Tosfos has to break to the ground and say that nazir is shari lachrini. And the second approach of Tosfos is that chametz is unique because of the isur bal yerovah bayimotzei. That's also going to give us a bit of a headache, as the Rashba points out, because not every chametz is included in bal yerovah bayimotzei, and yet all chametz is included in bedika and biur. Then we have Rashi sheet. Rashi sheet is, why did the Chachamim institute bedika? Not because of lo bedili minei inshi, not because of shevi yovel liachlo, but because of Bal Yerovah Bayimotzei. And here Tosfos asks his famous kasha. The Gemara establishes that habodek tzorech shivater, that every bedika requires bittul. And once you do bittul, midoraisa, this is what we sang yesterday in our require, bittul bi'alma sagi. So if bittul is enough, why require bedika? And Rashi says, "Bal yerovah bayimotzei." It must be that somehow bittul is unreliable. Now, what time is it? We don't have that much time, so I'll just add one little piece. Do you have Menachem at the end of your Gemara, the Ran? If you could open up to the first Ran in Masechta Pesachim. I don't have the Ran in my Gemara. I just want to read to you a little bit from the Ran. Thank you so much. The Ran is going to defend Rashi. How could Rashi say that bedika, the purpose of bedika is to protect you from Bal Yerovah Bayimotzei if you're going to do bittul anyway? And he says the following. He says, Sheva Tomer, and if you'll ask, in Cain, if the Torah relies on bittul, is Ein lebedika lebir ikar min haTorah klal. There's no requirement of bedika according to the Torah law. Therefore, bedika, it must be a rabbinic enactment, and the Torah relies on bittul. So he says the following: Kachi ikran shel dvarim. This is really what it's all about. The Ran says, "I'm going to reveal to you the whole secret of the first parak of Pesach." Amar Torah Tashbisu. The Torah says Tashbisu. The word Tashbisu is one of those words in the Torah, in biblical Hebrew, that suffer the tolerate two different meanings, and both are correct. V'yachol is kain tashbisu v'echad mishnei dvarim. There are two ways of fulfilling tashbisu. Oh, number one, shiyavatel b'libo. That's one way of fulfilling tashbisu. V'sagi midoraiso. And that's fine. Oh, he says the other way of interpreting tashbisu is tevaru, which means physically get rid of your chametz, destroy your chametz. So the Torah in the word tashbisu, says the Ran, could mean one of two things. Both are valid. It means either bittul or literally bir min ha'olam, to destroy it from the world. Ulamisha mavato, if you take that alternative, sagi bahachi, the Torah says that's enough. Ella, so why did the Chachamim say, let's not rely on bittul, let's require bedik as well? Lefisha bittul toli b'machshavton shel bnei adam. Bittul entails a subjective mindset. The ain deosay in shavos. Not everyone is the same. Everyone is different. The efshar, and we have to worry about the following possibility. Yeah, he declared bittul, but yakilu bekach velo yotziu milibon legamri. He's almost saying again, if I'm going to colloquialize it, the guy says bittul on this beautiful piece of chametz. Who you fool? You're telling me that you honestly think that this beautiful piece of pastry is like the afra of the hour, it's like the dust of the earth? Come on. V'lo yotzienu milibo legamri. You know, there's part of his heart that's still holding on to this chametz. I wish I could eat this chametz. Is lefichach roch hachomim lahachmir? So yaspik bittul, we're not going to rely on bittul. Maybe he doesn't have a full, sincere heart in his bittul. Vitzrichu, now tashbisu takes on a different meaning. Bidiku bir. Filifishu maspik gam came in at Torah, since the word tashbisu also tolerates the possibility of what? Of bidik and bir, physical destruction. Is therefore, that's going to be sufficient. Now the Ran asks, well, if the Torah recognizes tashbisu as bir and bittul, I'm sorry, as bir and as bedik and bir, why bother with bittul? The flip side. So you tell me we're not going to rely on bittul because ain day of seven shabbos v'efshar shekilu kachlo yisena bilibo legamre. So therefore, you want to be machmir and say tashbisu means bedik and bir. So just take it that way. Why didn't Chacham just say let's drop the ball on bittul? Let's insist that everyone do bedik and bir. He says, you know what? We're not going to rely on Bidiki because Shema Yimtza Acherklach Gluska Yefeifa. Maybe he missed up on some piece of bread. And he calls it a Gluska Yefeifa, you know, a very tempting, beautiful piece of pastry. And you know what's going to happen? Technically, if he burns it immediately on the spot, that's okay. But he waits a little bit. He's inhibited. And for that moment that he waits, he violates Vayirov HaYimotz. That delay, when he finds the chametz that he missed during his bedika, my Rebbe used to tell us that when he was a child, his father used to do a very thorough bedika until he got to the attic. It was a bit of a climb to get up to the attic. So he used to send his little Yashiv Be'er, his little son. So the Rav admitted, confessed publicly, he did a very flimsy job. Because he felt that his father was pointing it off on him, that it was really his father's responsibility to do the bedik. He's sending him. So, chafif, as we say in Israel, you know, he looked around. So it's always possible that the bedik will not be a perfect bedik. He's going to find the Gluski Yefeifa, and he's going to delay destroying it. He hesitates for that one moment. And for that one moment, he's going to violate Bal Yerovim Mitzvah. The Chacham say, I'm going to avoid that situation. How? Through Bittul. So Bittul is not reliable per se, because maybe he's not going to have a full sincere Bittul. Bidika is not reliable, because maybe Shema Yimtza Gluski Yefefa, and he's going to hesitate destroying it. But the combination thereof of both Bittul and Bidika, that's going to cover our bases. On the outside chance that he missed the Gluski Yefefa in his Bidika, and he's tempted to delay and procrastinate on destroying that chametz, he has his Bittul, and the Bittul will protect him from Bal Yerovim. Okay, Rabosa, let me return this menacha to you. Right. And that's the way it will.
The thing that's tasty and tempting will mess up in either case. If tasty and tempting, it'll mess up in
Oh, just excuse me, Dave, for 1 minute. I'm sorry. I meant to announce that, Don, you asked me about Mishnah Berurah yesterday, and I taught you how to Chumash class. So again, I'm not pressing it, but if you want, now's the time we can learn a little Mishnah Berurah. Abby, you're with me? Don, is no good for you?
I plan to do things for the hour in between.
I see. What about you, Joe? I would start right now. I just answered David's question, and then I would start. Half hour of Mishnah Berurah. Okay?
If I didn't bring my Mishnah Berurah, because I didn't think
you were... Well, you can borrow my Mishnah Berurah. I know it by heart, so you can borrow mine.
I'm saying a thing that's tasty or tempting is a pitfall. It's a problem either pitfall or
correct.
Tempting.
I said but we're seeing that more
of he's delaying, even if he's procrastinating and destroying the problem. That takes a lot of gumption, you know, to take a beautiful pastry and send the flames, but he's not canceling his bidding. He's still not willing to violate by Yerovim very much by canceling his bidding. And it's good to move
on. Well, he said when he did Bittul, the fact that it's tasty and tempting, they override his machshava.
Well, it's Rashi's script. You sent to me a Rashi script that doesn't do good.
That's in regular script.
Okay. All right. Well, we will get a chance to do this.
Ben.